Good morning. Glad you're here. Please pray with me. Oh, Holy Father, we thank you for the blessed occasion of the gathering of your people. And Father, we pray this day that by your grace we might exalt your Son. We thank you for sending our Lord Jesus to save us from our sins. Would you give us what we need, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, what God says is right, is right. And what God says is wrong, is wrong. The lie that the old serpent told our mother Eve in the garden was, "Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And after she fell, what did she know? That she was naked? Beloved, what we know of good and evil is what God has revealed to us. He is even the maker of our minds. Everything we have, everything we know in truth is from Him. Do you think you know something? He came to the man Abram and told him, "Get up and go." And he made promises to that man. And Abraham believed him. And when God said go, Abraham went. He believed. He was a believer. When God said go, he went. The Bible says Abraham believed God, and his belief, his faith, was accounted to him for righteousness. Romans 4, 3. Can we believe that what God says is right is right? And what God says is wrong is wrong? Just because he said so? That's what Abraham, the father of the faithful, did. He believed God. He was a believer. There is much confusion in the world these days, friend. Folks not sure what's right and what's wrong. Folks not sure whether their child is a girl or a boy. Folks not sure of much of anything except that to be perpetually offended seems like a good thing. Folks are told, "Speak your truth. You speak your truth." As if truth is person specific and that what is true for you may not be true for me. I mean, the scientific enterprise used to be a quest for truth, but now science has been politicized and deified and truth relativized to such an extent that confusion has become the norm. And the norm in the sense that those who are not confused are outliers. You know, normal. If you're out here, that's an outlier. In the context of great disorder in the church, the Apostle Paul taught the saints at Corinth that God is not the author of confusion. God was not the one causing their chaotic church services where multiple tongue talkers were speaking at once and supposedly divine prophetic jibber jabber was being heard. God was not in that disorder, Paul taught. For he, our God, is a God of order and decency. So be assured, when there is disorder, chaos, tumult in a church like some of the charismania of our day, it's not of the Lord. For God is not the author of confusion. Now, I want to tell you something else, and this might appear contradictory or paradoxical considering what we just said, but it's not contradictory or paradoxical, maybe only apparently so. God is not the author of confusion, but listen. When God, the author of life, withdraws his grace, when he removes his restraining spirit, when he turns away, and if you will, lets boys be boys, the fallenness of humanity results in human confusion. Nature abhors a vacuum. You've heard that, haven't you? Nature abhors a vacuum, and when divine grace is withdrawn, human depravity, human wickedness, human fallenness, perplexity, bewilderment, and confusion rush in to fill the vacuum. In that sense, confusion is evidence of the divine absence, not the divine presence. The first occurrence of the word confusion in the English Bible, at least in the King James Version, doesn't occur until the third book of the Torah, Leviticus. But the idea of confusion occurs early, very, very early, in the 11th chapter of Genesis, where Moses narrates what is often referred to by theologians as the confusion of tongues, or the confounding of tongues. Please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. The first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 11. The Bible says, "The whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go, too, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, 'Go, too, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.' And Jehovah came down to see the city and the tower which the men, children of men, builded. And Jehovah said, 'Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound," or confuse, "their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So Jehovah scattered them abroad from thence upon all the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because Jehovah did there confound," or confuse, "the language of all the earth. And from thence did Jehovah scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." Now, interestingly, Eric, this is one of those instances in which God speaks to other spiritual beings, as we've discussed recently in the morning Bible study time. God speaks to the angelic cohort. He speaks to his heavenly host, and he says, "Let us go down from heaven to earth. Let us go down and confound. Let us go down and confuse their language." Now, the old King James Version that I read from there translated the Hebrew as confound, but all the prominent modern translations, the NET Bible, New International, New American Standard, and ESV, they translate it as confuse or confused. And the Hebrew term used here is balal, and it means to stir up, to mix up, as when grain is mixed for cattle food. to mingle, confuse, confound. The first occurrence of the word confusion in the King James Version of the English Bible is in Leviticus 18. Leviticus, the law of priests, the Levitical law, chapter 18. God Almighty commands His people and He says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It is confusion." Leviticus 18, 22 and 23. It is mixed up. It is disordered. It is confusion. Leviticus 20, verse 12, the law of God teaches, "If a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them." It is mixed up. It is disordered. It is confusion. In the 35th Psalm, David, man of God and man of war, prayed that his enemies might be brought to confusion. God, I want you to mix them up. He prayed, "Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me." Psalm 35, verses 4 and 26. Now, you remember, David was not allowed to build God's temple. He wanted to, but he wasn't allowed because he was such a man of war. A man of blood, God said. So this desire for the confusion of his enemies is common with David. Listen to this from Psalm 70, verse 2, which is almost verbatim from Psalm 35. You can't plagiarize yourself, right? He prays, "Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt." Mix them up, God. He wants his enemies to be confused, but he does not want to be mixed up. He does not want to be confused. In Psalm 71, verse 1, he sings, "In thee, O Jehovah, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Protect me, God. Don't let me get mixed up," he prays. Listen, saints, confusion is a bad thing. Confusion is a bad thing. And often those who are confused don't even know it. When the judgment of God was upon the people, upon His people, in the days of the prophet Jeremiah, they came to themselves. And in their shame, they cried out in confession to the Almighty, saying, "We lie down in shame. Our confusion covers us. For we have sinned against Jehovah our God, we and our fathers, from our youth, even to this day. We have not obeyed the voice of Jehovah our God." Jeremiah 3, 25. Covered with confusion. We're mixed up, God, we're mixed up. Have mercy on us. They were shameful, full of shame, covered with confusion. Righteous Daniel prayed three times a day. Do you remember? And in prayer, he confessed the sins of God's people. And he said, "O Lord, righteousness belongeth to thee, but unto us confusion of faces. As at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Daniel 9, verses 7 and 8. Open shame, humiliation, confusion of faces. Now, when we started out, I mentioned Paul's teaching to the disordered Corinthians in the context of the abuse of the gift of tongues in the Corinthian church. And Paul wrote to them and he said, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course. And let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let another judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For you may prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." 1 Corinthians 14, verses 26 through 33. Apparently, some of them were saying, "Oh, the Lord just came on me. I can't control it. The Spirit came on me and blah, 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 blah. I can't control myself." And Paul says, "No, that is not right. That's not right. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. Let everything be done decently and in order." Now, the Greek term translated confusion here is akatos toxia, and it means instability, a state of disorderedness, disturbance, confusion. And I know that you know there's a familiar and dreadful diagnostic passage in Romans chapter 1. Please turn to Romans chapter 1. In that passage, the great apostle Paul explains what happens when humans, when men and women reject God and His ways. And I'm going to give away the punchline. When men and women reject God and His Son, listen, they become confused. Romans chapter 1, Paul's explaining that God is not apathetic or indifferent to human wickedness. He sees it, and it angers Him. And Paul writes, look there, verse 18, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Does God care? He's angry with the wicked every day. God, quote, gave them up unto vile affections, verse 26. God, quote, gave them over to a reprobate mind, verse 28. He withdrew himself and let them go. Well, you probably know that the Message is not a translation. It's a paraphrase. But hear how the Message renders verse 28. Since they didn't bother to acknowledge God, God quit bothering them and let them run loose. You want it? You got it. I grew up in the days when homosexuality was not celebrated. As a matter of fact, it was rarely spoken of. It was, as they say, in the closet. And I wish it was still that way. In the days of my youth, to be gay meant to be happy, to be lighthearted, to be carefree. In our day, it seems like no one can shut up about it. They want to publicize it and make a big deal about it. They want to let the freak flag fly. In our day, listen, confusion. Confusion has become so widespread that that which is vile, disgraceful, shameful, abominable, scriptural terms, my friend, is celebrated. And those most afflicted with confusion are encouraged to be proud. Show your pride. So we have Pride Week, Pride Festivals, Pride Marches, Pride Flags. Beloved, listen, if this is making you uncomfortable, I'm sorry. But brothers and sisters, let us never be given over to confusion. How can we live in such a state of confusion? Well, beloved, humbly, prayerfully, charitably. Lot, the nephew of Abraham, according to Holy Scripture, was a righteous man. I hope to preach about that sometime soon. I have a very hard time seeing it when I read about Lot in Genesis. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, the inspired apostolic writer, Peter, tells us that God, quote, spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should afterward live ungodly. And he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. 2 Peter 2, verses 5 through 9. Let me read some of the other translations of how righteous Lot's soul was vexed by his neighbor's unlawful deeds and filthy conversation. New International Version. Lot, a righteous man, was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men. English Standard Version. Righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked. Net Bible. Lot, a righteous man in anguish over the debauched lifestyle of lawless men. The Message. Lot, driven nearly out of his mind by the sexual filth and perversity, was rescued. Now, beloved, listen, we ask ourselves, how can we live in such a state of confusion? And we answered, humbly, prayerfully, charitably. Listen, we're not better than the patriarchs. And Christian, listen, if your soul is vexed by the confusion around you, maybe it's because your soul is righteous. If you're distressed by the filth, perversity, debauchery, and confusion that is celebrated in our day, you're in good company. And listen, I know this is hard to hear. If it didn't bother you, that would be bad. That would be bad. Because we know from Romans 1 that it bothers our God. He's not apathetic. He's angry. It makes him angry. And we're not God. We're not God, but we're supposed to be godly. And you know that godly is a contraction for God-like. We're supposed to be like our God. Let me tell you, one of the things about Christians is this. Sin bothers them. Somebody should say amen. It irritates them. It vexes them. I'm not all right with it. I'm not all right with it in you. I'm not all right with it in me. It makes me sick. Beloved, listen. Homosexuality is nothing new. It's as old as the hills. Moses wrote about it thousands of years ago. And the reason that we Christians don't talk about it is because we're Christians. And we've been taught by direct apostolic exhortation to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which have done of them in secret. Ephesians 5, 11 and 12. New International Version. It's a shame even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. New American Standard. It is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. That Bible. The things they do in secret are shameful even to mention. Listen, we don't want to talk about it because it's shameful. And God's holy apostle teaches that we are to have no fellowship with such wickedness. And if and when we must speak of such shameful, dark things, what should we say about them? Well, he says, a word of reproof. Don't even talk about it. But if you have to talk, it should be a word of reproof. Now, brothers and sisters, please hear me clearly. And let's not let the confusion of the world confuse us. Christians, it is not okay for us to be okay with sin. It's not okay for us to be okay with sin. This confused world takes glory in that which is shameful. In that which is full of shame. And this confused world wants us to glory in what is shameful too. And we can't. We can't. You're proud of that shamefulness? We don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to hear about it. But this confused world wants to glory in it. Beloved, if we speak, when we must speak, the apostolic teaching is that our word concerning such confusion should be a word of reproof. The Greek word that's translated reprove there and expose in the NIV, in the ESV, is elango. And it means, listen, it means to convict, to refute, generally with a suggestion of shame of the person convicted, to bring to light, to expose, to find fault with, to correct by word, to reprehend severely, to chide, admonish, reprove, call to account, to show one his fault. No, it's not worthy of pride. It's wrong. You're saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. God said it's wrong. Now, we live in a pluralistic country, even in a pluralistic world. And I wish, I wish that every knee would bow to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ now. But God has not ordained it so. And so, false gods will be worshipped. And fools will deny that there even is a God. Now, I understand this. What I don't understand is those who seem confused about the moral teaching of Christianity, because Holy Scripture is quite clear. If you don't want to follow Jesus, you won't. Listen, if you don't want to follow Jesus, you won't. But if you will follow Him, part of His program is to sanctify you. To set you apart. To declare you righteous because of His perfect sacrifice. And then to work in you to make you better. More holy. By placing His Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, inside you. And listen, if you're a sexual sinner, a fornicator, an adulterer, or a sexually confused man or woman, a homosexual? In salvation, God forgives that. But listen, He also changes it. He changes it. He does not leave His people in confusion. He does not leave His people in their sin. He delivers. He saves. Listen. Jesus saves. The angel told Joseph, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, Joshua, Savior. For He shall save His people." From what? From their sin. "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin." Not in their sin, from their sin. From its mastery. From its penalty. Hear the word of the Lord from the great Apostle Paul. "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Listen, this is Paul. "Do not be deceived." Don't be deceived. Listen, don't be deceived. "Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. It's the New International Version. Now, beloved, I don't believe I'm a narrow-minded Christian. I don't want to be. I want to throw open the gates wide and compel them to come in. I want many, 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 many knees to bow to Jesus. But listen, you and I must speak truth. We are not representing ourselves. Don't you see? We're ambassadors for Christ. We're His workmanship. And so when we represent Him, we must speak truly. And Paul, the apostle of Jesus, affirms that to teach that the unrighteous can inherit the everlasting life of the kingdom of God is a deception. It's a lie, he says. And he says, "Don't be deceived. That's not going to happen." It's a lie, Paul says. And Paul lists out exactly what he means. And you heard that disturbing list of sins, many sexual in nature. And he says to the Christians that he's been writing to, "That's what some of you were." Past tense. That's how you used to be. What happened to you? Jesus saved His people from their sins. Not in their sins. From their sins. He says, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Listen, the world wants us to be okay with sin. The world wants us to glory in sin. The world wants us to say it's okay. But listen, saints, it's not okay. And to say it's okay is a lie. And the Holy Apostle says, "Don't be deceived. Sin is not okay." Now, I really don't want to talk about it. But if you push me, I'm going to tell you, it's sin. It is confusion. And it is displeasing to God. It doesn't bring His favor. It brings His wrath. I'm not hurting anybody else. You are making God mad. That is not good for you, friend. It's not going to turn out good. according to Romans 1, when sin is disclosed, when it's pointed out, and one will not turn from it, but is determined to persist in it, how does God respond? Well, Romans 1 says that he gives over. He gives over. He says, in effect, that's what you want? Have at it. Have at it. And listen, the sin itself becomes the judgment. It's confusion. And the confusion becomes delusion. And the deceived sinner loves and rejoices in his sin. And the end is death. Oh, I know it's not good for you, but it's good for me. It makes me happy. You're dying. You're killing yourself. Beloved, listen. Sin is confusion. And confusion is sin. And God is delivering his people from both. From confusion and from sin. The Bible teaches that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Now, when we use that term blind, we're usually talking about a lack of eyesight. What is a blinded mind? Listen, it's a confused mind. It's a mind that's been disordered, twisted, perverted. It's a mind that can't think clearly. Satan, whom Paul calls in this passage the god of this world, has a strategy to blind minds, to distort reality, to suppress truth, to sow confusion. We prayed just a few minutes ago, deliver us from evil. And you may recall from my sermons on the Lord's Prayer that the more robust idea there is, deliver us from the evil one. So, saints, listen, let us cry out with the psalmist. In thee, O Lord, do we put our trust. Let us never be put to confusion. Not the malicious or profane, the wanton or the proud, nor thieves nor slanderers shall obtain the kingdom of our God. Surprising grace, and such were we by nature and by sin, heirs of immortal misery, unholy and unclean. But we are washed in Jesus' blood. We're pardoned through his name. And the good spirit of our God has sanctified our frame. Oh, for a persevering power to keep thy just commands. We would defile our hearts no more. No more pollute our hands. Please stand with me for prayer. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, thy understanding is unsearchable and infinite. Thy arm cannot be stayed. Thy agency extends through limitless space. All works hang on thy care. With thee, time is a present now. Holy is thy wisdom, power, mercy, ways, works. How can I stand before thee with my numberless and aggravated offenses? I have often loved darkness, observed lying vanities, forsaken thy given mercies, trampled underfoot thy beloved Son, mocked thy providences, flattered thee with my lips, broken thy covenant. It is of thy compassion that I am not consumed. Oh, lead me to repentance and save me from despair. Let me come to thee, renouncing, condemning, loathing myself, but hoping in the grace that flows even to the chief of sinners. At thy cross, may I contemplate the evil of sin and abhor it. May I look upon him whom I have pierced as one slain for me and by me. May I never despise his death by fearing its efficacy for my salvation. And whatever cross I am required to bear, let me see him carrying a heavier. Teach me in health to think of sickness, in the brightest hours to be ready for darkness, in my life prepare me for death. Thus may my soul rest in thee, O immortal and transcendent one, revealed as thou art in the person and work of thy Son, the friend of sinners. In Jesus' name, amen.